Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for who you are, how you love us, how you keep us. You're merciful, you're kind, you're gracious, and we deserve none of it. Your love is indescribable. When we try to say how much you love us, God, we just can't. We can't get to the end of it. So glad that you love us better than we're able to express. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the call to pray. We thank you for the call to pray. The call to talk to you. Have fellowship with you. Have communion with you. God, we thank you. Now, Father, we just ask you to take this word today and do what you will with it in the hearts of this, your people in this house and wherever we are that we might be listening to you today, Father. God, we ask you in Jesus' name just to be God in here. Amen. And so we've been moving through the book of Colossians, and we're at Colossians chapter 4, and we're beginning with verse 2 today. And as I started to look at verse 2, God really arrested me at the very beginning of the verse. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says in the NIV, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." In the ESV, it says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." In the Amplified, it says, "Be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving." KJV says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same thing with thanksgiving." You kind of get the idea that prayer is not something that we do haphazardly, because he said things like devote yourself, be persistent, persevere in prayer. He said, "Continue in prayer," and that's where God stopped me with the word "continue." 2 weeks ago, as I started to look at this, prayer takes many forms. The prayer petition or supplication, thanksgiving, worship, dedication, intercession, even prayers where we dialogue with God back and forth. The one thing that is constant in this is that we need to be earnest in our prayers, need to be devoted, whether it's a prayer for deliverance, whether it's a prayer where we're honoring God and just worshiping God, whether we're just asking God to move in our lives or do something, or whether we're praying for something or someone else. We need to be earnest when we come to God in prayer. As we look at this verse, continue in prayer, or watch in prayer, or be earnest in prayer, or to persevere or be persistent in prayer. As we look at this, we understand this one thing. God wants us to talk to him. Have you ever just wanted somebody to just talk to you? And it's like you have something that you want to say to them. There's a message that you want to get across to them. And in your speaking to them, they don't really get it. In you, sometimes just emptying your heart out. And just pressing in for this person to know what you're saying, and they don't get it. It's frustrating. Sometimes you'll feel helpless. It's like, I need you to hear my heart. And I believe that that's what God is saying to us. I need you to hear my heart. I need you to know that when I speak to you, It's because I want to, and there's something that I want to say to you. There's things I want to do for you. There's things I want for your life, and I talk to you about those things. But as I looked at this, I thought about this. One of the things, even though God is saying, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. One of the things that we are most uncomfortable about is prayer. Most often, people will, if we had a musical here today, we'd have to put chairs in the aisles. We'd have to put chairs in the aisle. But if the preached word is coming forth, or if we're praying, people are slow to be here. But say we're going to have a musical. Everybody's coming out, and they'll pay to go to a musical. They'll pay to go to a musical and then come to church and won't even put a dime in the offering. And so it's like, as I was looking at this, I was saying, God, I'm sensing more than just persevere so we can get what we want. But I'm also sensing persevere past the don't want to. Persevere past, I don't feel like it. Persevere past, well, why would God listen to me? Persevere past, well, I've done so much that God wouldn't hear my prayer. Persevere past anything that would block you from talking to God and being comfortable to do it. The one thing that I liked about, and I was going to use Miss Johnson for an example this morning. The one thing I liked about testimony time is that Ivy talked about her mother praying with confidence about their house not being destroyed in the storm. And she wouldn't get nervous and she wouldn't go in the closet because she believed that God heard her prayer. So one of the things I thought about was, is the first time I experienced Miss Johnson praying is that she seemed so comfortable talking to God. It's like there's no strain. It seems like she, when she starts praying, it's like music to my ears. I wonder what it sounds like to God, because it sounds like somebody who knows the heart of God and knows that God is going to hear her when she prays. She doesn't pray like she's got to do, like she's got to go duking in there for God to do it, or she got to make her way in the room with God, or she got to push her way in. Miss Johnson just says, Father, I adore you. God, I'm so grateful that you are the Most High God. It's the way she does it, and I be going, yeah. When I'm on the prayer line and Miss Johnson is praying, I say, that's it. Talk to God like you know he hear you, girl. Talk to God like you know you don't have to push your way in there. But there's an open heaven over you. There's a throne room that God has invited you into. Miss Johnson walks in like God's expecting her. That's why she didn't get in the closet the other night. She had the assurance that when she got down on her knees two nights before, my God, that God had already settled that thing, that God had already heard her prayer. In the scriptures, when God said, I hear your prayer, it not only means I listen, but I do according to what you ask. God wants all of us to come to him that way. Like he really is our father. Like he really is the provider. Like he really is the protector. Like he really is the source of all of our lives. He wants us to come to him like that. God doesn't want us tiptoeing and wondering if it's okay. Honey child, that started in the garden. I went back to Genesis 1 and chapter 2. I heard God told y'all last Sunday, Genesis 1 and 2 was all about God and what God provided and all about what God wanted for us. And 3 to the book of Revelation is God fixing what we messed up. In the beginning, Adam didn't wonder what God wanted him to name the animals. God called Adam and said, name these creatures. And he brought all of the creatures before him. And he named every creature. He didn't say, what you think about this? He knew the heart of God. He was so one with God that all he had to do was say cat, rat, elephant, lion. All he had to do was call them what came to his mind. Because at that time, he had the mind of God. He had the thoughts of God. It was only later that God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. After the fall, before the fall, we thought like God. We acted like God. We walked like God. We acted like God's way was our way because it was. Before the fall. They didn't have to ask what to do. They knew what to do. Because they knew the heart of God. They knew the mind of God. The struggle came later. When God came to visit them in the garden, the evening after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when God came to the garden, they heard him coming. King James said they heard his voice. Let me read some of these other translations. I said I was going to read it. Don't rush, Carolyn, because God said in here today, I want these people to know. I want these people to know. Can you hear what I'm saying? Starting at verse 8, chapter 3. I'm on the wrong chapter. Let me get on the right chapter. Verse 8. Okay. He said, this is King James. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the Amplified, it says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord, the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the afternoon breeze of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Before that, they didn't run and hide. Before then, they trusted the heart of God. Before them, they didn't think that they needed to hide from God. Listen to this. When God made them and set them in the garden, he gave them dominion over the fowls of the air, the fishes over the earth. He gave them dominion over everything creeping on over the earth. He gave them a home. And they didn't have to do anything to build that home. God built them a home, made them a safe place. Everything they could ever want, everything they could ever need. They didn't have to say, Lord, pay my bills. They didn't have to say, Lord, save my son from the drugs. They didn't have to say, Lord, would you deliver my children out of the darkness? They didn't have to say any of that. Everything was all right. All, A-L-L, right. From the beginning. We only have to pray, Lord, deliver my children because of the fall. We only have to say, Lord, pay my bills because of the fall. And in Jesus, he hears that. It was all good before. So why do I believe God arrested me on this continuing prayer? Because I believe God wants us to get back to. It's all good. And it's all God. And God wants to talk to you. And God wants to do for you. And God wants to bless you. Ephesians 1 says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That means that we lack nothing as the people of God. Think about that. Chapter 1 of Ephesians says that God has sealed us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God has made us ready and made us fit in Jesus Christ to live with him throughout eternity. From the beginning, God wanted you, and God still wants us. Ephesians 1 also says that God says, I pray that you have, the word says, I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That you would know the heart of God. Yesterday morning I went to my husband's cousin's funeral. And when the pastor stood up there, it was just something about when he opened his mouth, I'm thinking, this is a man of God. I don't know. There was just something about him that made me know this man is, he real. And he hadn't said anything in particular. He just said a few words. And he had my attention from the beginning. Well, as he began to deliver his message for the day, he talked about when he first came to God, how he was. His relationship with God was impersonal. He had received Jesus as Savior, but his relationship with God was impersonal. He didn't have that one-on-one. He said, but I've come to know and I've grown to know that it is spirit to spirit. It's a personal relationship with God. It's not this big God out in the blue sky somewhere, y'all. But it's a God who's up close and personal. A God who wants to walk with me. A God who wants to talk with me. He said, I found out that this is a personal thing. So he doesn't think about the Holy Ghost as it. And God as this big, awesome God out there somewhere who's out of touch with him. But he sees God as his friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I thought about that song this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care and lets me at my Father's throne. Think about that. God wants us knowing him. God wants us in touch with him. Wants us to know how much he wants us, how much he loves us, and how much he wants to do for us. God said, continue in prayer. As God is winding down this book of Colossians, he reminds us that we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people who pray fervently. The scripture says the fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. The earnest prayer of a righteous man, that prayer that's for real. Katrina said, it came over me to pray. Like God put the blood was on the doorpost when God when death skipped over Israel. She said, God told me to pray that same kind of prayer. Earnestly she prayed. And then she goes out after the storm and see that the storm has skipped her, but it's hit right here. The storm has skipped her, but it hit right there. God gave her what to pray. God will give you what to pray in every instance and in every situation. We just have to know that he will hear us. We can be in his service and not know him. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. What were you doing before that? Did you see him before that? Did you know him before that? See, we come into his presence. We say things absentmindedly. We pray absentmindedly. Sometimes we pray the same thing over and over again because there's no relationship. When I was growing up, I could pray all of the deacon's prayers. Don't laugh. She know what I'm talking about. You could repeat them. Every one of them. Every Sunday morning. Because they prayed the same thing every Sunday morning. There was no difference. There was no, I mean, word for word. And some of them started like this. Now, my Father. And didn't say nothing else. Now, my Father. Now, my Father. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying what happened. And it was like, you're opening the service, sir. And there needs to be a prayer from your heart for this service. But if you don't know him, then you are going to have this set thing that you're going to say every time. It's not the same every time because every prayer that you pray is not for the same reason. God said, I want you to come to me and I want you to pray and I want you to pray earnestly. I want your prayer to be firm. I want your prayer to be steady. I want your prayer to be to me. God said, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk with me. Don't talk at me. There's nothing worse than somebody talking at you. Don't talk at me. Talk with me. Let's converse, you and me. Let's talk. He said, come let us reason together to Israel. When they were in bad shape. God said, come and let me show you the way out of that darkness that you're in. God wants, how God wants to fellowship with us. How God wants to move on our lives. There are times God will do some things without us praying, and then there are other things that are not going to happen until you cry out to God. God said, when you turn from your wicked way, seek my face, then will I heal your land. God is waiting for us to fellowship with him. God said, continue, persist, persevere, pray like you want me to hear you. Pray like you know I'll hear you. Let's not just talk to be talking, pray to be praying. And then whatever we do, let's not compare ourselves. That's another thing that holds us up. Well, I can't pray like you. You're not supposed to. You're not me. And I'm not supposed to pray like you. What's in your heart? What's in your heart may not necessarily be what's in mine. So what's in your heart? You pray to God what's in your heart. Didn't nobody pray about that, so I won't pray about that. Maybe God didn't speak it to them. Maybe you're the only one that heard this morning. Pray for PJ. Maybe you're the only one that heard this morning. Pray for Isaiah. Maybe you're the only one who heard this morning. Pray for Arnell. Maybe you're the only one that heard it this morning. You pray it whether it's on the prayer list or not. Luke 18:1 says men ought always to pray and not faint. Men ought always talk to God and not grow weary. How we relate to God is how we'll pray. How you relate to God. Do you see him as your father? The 23rd Psalm is the most quoted Psalm in the church. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you know what David said? He said, the Lord, Yahweh, the Holy One, the great I am, is my shepherd. The God, the maker, the God, the creator is my shepherd. He's the one who watches over me. He's the one who protects me. He's the one who keeps me safe. He's the one who provides for me. Provides for me in such a way that I lack nothing. Provides for me in such a way that I will not be diminished. Listen to what he said. Listen to what you say when you say, the Lord is my shepherd. You're saying, I want for absolutely nothing. You say that God fulfills my every need. You say that God makes me and keeps me the way he wants me to be. When you say the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to what we say. God is my refuge and my strength. He's my safe place. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe there. And you know what? We can pray those kinds of prayers when the word abides in us. Think about what John said. John said, if the word abides in you, Jesus said in red, if the word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done for you. You can name it the way God has given it to you. He brought every animal to that boy. He just named them. What God is saying is Adam had his word in him and he didn't ask amiss. If the word of God is in you, you're not going to ask for the wrong thing. You're always going to ask right. You're always going to ask for what God wants to do. Hear God in here today. It's no light matter if God says you can ask for what you will. That's not a light matter. I take that seriously. He said, if you're abiding in my word and my word is abiding in you, you can ask for anything and I'll do it. And I heard somebody say a long time ago, one translation said, Jesus said, and if I don't have it, I'll make it. He's the creator. He's the maker. He's the creator. Everything begins with him and everything ends with him. Am I making sense in here today? Pray. Talk to God. Don't hold back. God does not think about you what you think about you. God does not think about you what people think about you. God's not nervous about you and who you are. God's not nervous about you and what you do. He has already seen you. He saw you before you were in your mother's womb. Counted the hairs on your head before you had a head. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. Jeremiah knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Hush your mouth. You're going to carry this message. You're going to do what I said. Because God already knew you. God wants us to know that he is for us, not against us. That God is not a withholder. He gave the best that he had when he gave Jesus Christ. How's he a withholder? Jesus went to Calvary, died for my sins and yours for all time, past, present, future, died for all sin. Hebrews said once for all. What does that mean? What you did, what you're doing, what you're going to do. Once for all. Didn't have to die but one time. Took it all and then got up, overcame the death that was ours. Overcame it. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, my God, executing his will and testament for our lives. You can't get any better than that. I'm glad about it too. Can't get any better than that. So why would we hide from God? Why would we be shame in God's presence? Jesus took guilt. He took shame. There's no reason to come into God's presence. Shame. He saw you before you did it. Bring your happy self and repent. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on us. When the boy in Luke chapter 15 took his inheritance, wasted it, ended up in a pigsty, ready to eat with the pigs, came to his senses, started back home, the father saw him afar off, arms wide, running to meet the boy. The boy said, I've sinned against you, Father. I'll be a slave. He said, go get the ring, go get the robe, get some shoes. The shoes meant not a servant. The shoes meant a son. Hey, ring and robe. This is your heritage, son. Ha, you're not a slave. Come on here. We need to get real. Stop tiptoeing around God. Honor him. Honor him. Honor him. By accepting his love, by accepting his mercy, by accepting his graciousness, honor him. Hear the Holy Ghost when he says, pray a certain way. Pray that way. All that time, my niece was out there acting crazy and denying God. I heard one prayer concerning her. That the truth would dawn on her like a new day. And when she came out of it, she said, it dawned on me. Can you hear God? Can you hear God? He told me what to pray. I remember this one girl, I saw her a few months ago, was getting ready to commit suicide. She was in California. Her family was praying for her. Didn't know where she was. They didn't know she was in California. They didn't know where she was. They didn't know if she was dead or alive. Because when she left home, she was drugging and drinking and prostituting. She was doing the whole ball of wax. And her twin called me one day and said, Sister Wells, I don't know how to pray for my sister. I said, how do I pray for my sister? She said, we don't know where she is. We haven't heard from her. I said, ask the Holy Ghost to teach you what to say, because I don't know. It's okay to not know and then ask the Holy Ghost, because he does know. I didn't know. I said, I don't know. Ask the Holy Ghost. And he said, pray that she see the light. That she see the light. We needed to come home. We need to know where she is. He said, pray that she sees the light. God, we need her off the drugs. We need her off the alcohol. God, we need her out of the street. God, we need to see the light. That's all he said. Pray that she sees the light. So her twin got on her knees and prayed that she would see the light. She was writing a suicide note in California. She was writing a suicide note. And while she was writing the note, she said, I can't do this to my mama. She saw the light. She fell on her knees. And God delivered her. And she called her family. She has never gone back. Never gone back. She and her husband became entrepreneurs and have a huge business. Well, he died recently, but they have a huge business. She came from zero to the pinnacle of what God had for her life. Can you hear what I'm saying? God will take you out of the ditch and he'll set you in the high place that belongs to you. At the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, you can't be so wrong that God can't deliver you. God help me today. God help me today. God help us today. God hears and he answers the prayer that is according to his will. And so that's why we have the Holy Ghost. I'll be done in a minute. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. Because he knows the will of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows the heart of God. He knows what every word written in these scriptures means. He knows the word of God concerning your life. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you. And he will communicate to you what God wants you to know and understand. Because God's goal is that we be made whole. God's goal is that we be restored. The Lord wants us to talk to him. Say, God wants me to talk to him. Really talk. Really talk. Not at him. To him. God wants to communicate his heart's desire toward every one of us. God doesn't want any one of us falling short. No matter what your thinking may be today. No matter what your thinking may be today. God says, I want to talk with you. And so he'll call you to a place where he'll show you the way that is right. Even if you dead wrong. Can you hear what I'm saying? God will help you. And then if you pray in a mist, God will straighten you out. Hannah's prayer is probably one of my favorite prayers in 1 Samuel. When she was praying for a son. She wanted a child, period. But God wanted Samuel. And she prayed until she knew the will of God. And this woman who prayed until she knew the will of God then vowed to give the son away. Girl, I thought you wanted a baby. Thought you wanted a son. She did. But then she understood that what God wanted was Samuel, her first son. When you know the heart of God, when you know the will of God, you will pray out of yourself into his will. Your bent will be what God wants, not what I want. You know, there are some things I thought I really wanted in life. Man, you couldn't have told me I didn't want to. And as I began to grow, and as I began to understand the heart of God and the will of God, those things didn't seem so important to me anymore. You know, when I was getting ready to, you know, go downstairs and go hide my head with the pillow from the storm the other night, I just packed up the things I thought I needed. My phone, so I could let everybody know where I am, if I'm in the basement, and everything got to be dug away from around me. I didn't know whether my house was going to fall or not. I didn't fall for it. I didn't pray for it to fall. I just prayed that it wouldn't bump my head. That's all. That's all. And so it's like I needed my phone, and I took my iPad. I had them both charged up, and my chargers so they could stay charged. And then I went on downstairs with my pillows and my gadgets. And I remember the time when I would have been thinking about my precious stuff, but I wasn't this time. And I didn't realize it though until later. I thought, you know what? I didn't think about taking this downstairs, and I didn't think about taking that downstairs. And it was because those things don't mean to me what they did at one time. We grow to the place where we know what God wants for us, and that's what's important. Is anybody paying attention in here today? God wants us to really talk to him. So as God has given us these admonishments at the end of the book of Colossians, he starts with pray continually, pray fervently, be persistent, persevere, don't quit, don't faint, press until you know that you hear what I'm saying to you. Press until you know the will. And what we're doing is pressing past our flesh. It's not pushing to get into God, but it's getting past my flesh. It's getting past the lies of the devil. It's getting past the things that would hinder. God's not hindering our way. He's waiting for us to pray. He's waiting for us to call upon him. So the press is against your own desires, the things that you want. Sometimes we want all the wrong things. Don't tell me you don't, with your sanctified self. And sometimes you'll want the right thing for the wrong reason. You understand what I'm saying? I remember the time I wanted trouble to end between me and my husband. I didn't want all of the chaos and foolishness that was going on in our home, but I wanted it for the wrong reason. So the day that I stayed at home to pray about it, I was going into God and I had all my complaints against Michael Wells. I had a list for him. Oh yes, I did, Mr. God. I got this. Cause I'm the righteous one. I'm the holy one. I walks with you and I talks with you. And I know that I am your own, but he's a heathen. And as I descended my stairway to go down to my place to pray, I heard the Lord say before I could even pray, I went to Calvary for him the same time I went for you. That is not what was supposed to happen. Thank God. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. God was concerned about his soul. Pray for his soul. Pray for him to be saved, not complain about what he's doing. I died for his soul the same time I died for yours. We have a tendency to go to God asking him to get somebody. I remember one night we had this, in our Bible study. This is when we were doing Bible study. Were we a church yet? We might have been, but we were in Bible study down at Morningstar because we didn't have a building. We were just using the senior citizen building. And it was the most heated exchange that night about being able to pray for God to get somebody. this one person say, I can pray for God to get somebody. I can pray. I know I can. And they wanted to justify it. I said, let's not go there in here tonight. We're to pray for somebody's soul to be delivered. We're to pray for somebody's peace. If somebody's in trouble, we're not to pray against them. We're to pray for them. And I know that's hard for y'all to do for number 47, but I'll keep going. God wants to save souls. And I'm not saying everybody gonna be saved, but here's what I am saying. You're not praying against, but you're praying for what Jesus went to Calvary for. And that was to deliver souls out of darkness. Is every soul going to be delivered? No, but I don't get to see which ones will and which ones won't. But you skating on thin ice yourself when you want to pray that way. Mm-mm. We don't pray that way. And so it's like, and they left there that night upset because they were determined that they could pray against this person. They wanted something done to somebody. And it's like, no, I know what God did for me when I wanted him to do something. He delivered me. He delivered me from the wrong in my heart. And then he delivered that soul. Because when I started praying for my husband's soul, he got saved. Let's remember that God's will be done. So the word of God needs to abide in us, and I'll be done. The word of God needs to abide in us so that we don't ask amiss. So we do know what the Lord is saying. When we know what God is saying about any given situation, God will hear and he will answer. We'll see the hand of God. We've seen it, but God wants us to see it more. Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray that you've ministered to the hearts of every one of us in here today. I pray, God, that we get it, that you want us to talk to you. You want us to talk with you. You want us to interact with you. You want us to trust that you are God, our Father. You want us to know that you want the best for us. And we'll find that out as we have a one-on-one, a personal relationship with you. When we walk heart to heart with you. We'll know, we'll see, we'll understand. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in here has heard something that will help them. Help each one of us, oh God, to be more comfortable at prayer time. To want to pray, to long to fellowship with you. Can hardly wait to get to you. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.